Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the Extra Hour is John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Also, of course, the producer of VFN Radio program, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
If you missed the first hour, you gotta catch it. We've covered so many important things, prophecies being fulfilled, what's happening over in Israel right now, what happened to the United Nations with 138 nations voting basically against Israel, and only 9 of them voting for Israel in the context of the Palestinians. Find out what's going on. Give a shout out to all of our new listeners out there. Welcome to VFN Radio. Every day, 24/7 on VFN Radio. We're going to be talking about rethinking church, friendship, and family in the extra hour here, the wisdom moment, you know, when a man finds a woman. Also, talking about Glenn Beck and this irreverent thing, or not irreverent, but just wrong thing he did about the president. And the secret to marriage. The secret to marriage. Hopefully we'll squeeze all this in. And the citizenship. Citizenship. Oh, we should be able to do all that, right, in the extra hour.
Yeah, we'll, sure, no problem.
We'll move quickly. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
And Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Well, man, we got to just hurry and get busy. We've got so many things we want to cover in the extra hour. John, I know that you were going to bring up about this police officer. Tell us about what happened.
My goodness, police officer, NYPD, New York's finest. Really did just something awesome. It's this officer named Larry DePrimo.
Mm-hmm.
Larry DePrimo was basically down in he was patrolling down in Times Square, New York, and he happened to see this homeless man that was sitting on outside of one of these buildings on the concrete sidewalk, and it was very, very cold that night. But what he found out was that the homeless man didn't have any shoes, shoes.
Wow. What's the temperatures up there?
Oh, man, at night could be in 20s, 30s. I mean, this is really very cold.
On concrete.
Concrete.
There is no grass in Manhattan.
No.
If it is, it's on a balcony or a roof somewhere.
And if the wind is blowing, I mean, I've experienced cold. But I remember a time when the wind was blowing so bad that it literally felt like it was cutting my face.
It's just like, I've stood to watch on a ship before on an ocean. It's bad.
Well, he sees this man, and I guess he just was so moved with compassion, he goes at him and decides to get him a pair of boots and socks at one of the stores in Times Square. So he runs into the store and says, listen, ask the guy what his size was, and he tells the store clerk, just get me a nice all-weather pair of boots, and gets this man a boots. I think they're like a $100 pair of boots, and puts him on his feet, not knowing now that some tourist was down in Times Square took a picture of him. Let me tell you what happened. This picture of this police officer, NYPD, taking care of this homeless man, went completely viral on Facebook. I mean, you're looking at 133,000 times this picture was liked. Okay.
I mean, it just
actually
happened.
It just happened. It was liked actually by 409,000 people. I'm sorry. It was liked by 409,000 people.
Big difference.
And the picture was shared 133,000 times.
Well, you think about it, that's what God tells us to do, right? He says,
yeah,
I want you to go around. This is what Christians, by the way, we're to go around and let our good deeds be seen amongst men so that God gets the glory. And notice, I mean, it's cool that this officer is getting recognition. I think it's pretty cool what he did.
Yeah.
But if we're a Christian, that should be our life.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
That should be our life. And we let that particular transit know. And I know a lot of people do this every day. And you don't know it because they don't let their left hand know what their right hand's doing.
Exactly.
But when they do acknowledge it, we go, we say, well, it's God.
Yeah.
It's God. That's the reason. This is what God asked me to do.
Mm-hmm. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. I mean, God's word instructs us often to be kind. In fact, kindness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And so what would happen if believers everywhere continue to do kind works
look how amazed and rightfully so, the world is, 400,000 people were and are with one man's kind deed, which is cool. Then think about this. Imagine how amazed heaven is. What heaven sounds like. How many times they like and forward and share your kind deeds. When they see you reaching out, and I see it all the time. I see Christians, they see somebody, you know, asking for money on the side of the street. They don't tell anybody. They don't take pictures of it, because God says if you do that, first of all, then you've already received your reward. He wants us to do it because we love him. We want that. He wants that person to know that it was him that laid them on our heart, so he gets the glory for it. But I see Christians all the time stopping and giving cash to or food to somebody on the side of the streets. I see them getting clothes, stopping, you know, and asking somebody what your shoe size is, paying people's rent. I mean, it just goes on and on and on and
power
on and
bill,
on.
All types
power
of stuff,
bills.
Yeah.
And what you see happening in a worldly perspective, when the world gets amazed, understand heaven is like that. Heaven is just talking you up. Heaven's going, look what they did. And they only had $100 to their name, and they just gave $50 of it to this particular person, knowing they needed $120 to pay their power bill.
Wow.
Think about that. I was watching What Would You Do? You know, and I can't tell you the actor on there or the news reporter, but they were had this lady that was checking out, and it's like, What Would You Do? And they were videoing, and they set this whole scene up with actors.
Oh, because ABC does that.
I think somebody bought them out. Anyway, so they are they had let other people come around these actors, and they filmed the reaction of these people. And this one particular lady, she was the actor, and the cashier was the actor, the customer was the actor, and the antagonist was the actor. And the lady that was the actor that was checking out with her groceries, baby food, and all this kind of stuff. All she had was SNAP, which is, you know, food stamps. It comes on a credit card now, type thing, and it's called SNAP. And the cashier is saying, I need some cash. She said, I don't have cash. This is all I have. And so you had that dilemma going on of a mother trying to buy food for her baby. And then all of a sudden this antagonist actor is going, there you are, you know, feeding off the government. And then all of a sudden these other people that aren't part of it, that are just regular people, see what's going on. They're moved with compassion, and they start coming up and saying, you know, trying to give her, giving her money and cash. And he goes, there you are, bailing her out. And they turn around, they just chew this man out, you know. And it was so cool, because this one lady, she needed the money. She actually bought this one lady, she bought all of her groceries.
Oh, wow.
And so, they stop her afterwards, and the cameras come charging in, and she's just shocked. And she's says, he goes, you know, why did you do this? And well, she told the lady, first of all, she said, God's laid this on my heart, I'm supposed to do this for you.
Oh,
she
wow.
did it now. And then, of course, then they catch her later on and said, you know, why did you do this? He says, well, I just know how it is. I've walked in those places before. I've been there before, where you got to put stuff back or whatever. And I just wanted to do it. And he says, well, did you need this money? She says, yeah, I needed it. And he says, but that's what I'm going to do. That's what I did with it. And it's just beautiful. These things are happening every day. I mean, there are good people, and there's people that are doing things continually for God.
Absolutely.
And, but it was amazing. Wow. This antagonist was just, I'm like, oh my goodness, you know? And so the big thing about heaven, you know, what God's saying to us is, what will we do? Will we do what he said? And just like this good police officer did at NYPD, you know, we need to do that on an everyday basis. Look for the opportunities to be kind to someone because God said to, and let them know it's God. Because you know you wouldn't be doing that if you weren't serving God.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? He's like, come on, you know where he found you at. And that would not be you doing that outside of him. Well, you know, the secret, I want to talk about the secret to marriage. You want to be able to move on, you know, and I know that Pat's just itching to tell us about
it.
It's Pat's notes, you know, the secret of marriage. And it kind of, this is really explained. If you're thinking about getting married, or if you're in the dilemma of being married and trying to, you say, this doesn't make sense, this is going to be very helpful to you. This is what marriage can be like. There's moments like this. This is a scenario. There's a man, it's a husband. He's reading a newspaper and he's sitting at the breakfast table. You can imagine that. This probably happens, right? You know, originally when this was talked about, it was a piece of paper, but now he's probably looking at his iPad.
Yeah, right.
But he's reading the newspaper, and the wife is fixing her husband some oatmeal. And she's in the kitchen with him, obviously, because they're in there, and she's got her back to him. And so all of a sudden, she fixes the oatmeal, she sets it down and turns her back to him. She sets the oatmeal in front of him as he's reading the paper, and she turns her back to him and begins to wash dishes. All of a sudden, he just kind of pulls down the paper for a second and looks at the at the oatmeal sitting in front of him that his wife just sat down. He says, he looks real close and he goes, my goodness, there's a fly in my oatmeal. There's a fly in my oatmeal. Mm-hmm. So he tells his wife, you know, whose back is turned to him, says, there's a fly in my oatmeal. And she doesn't look. She doesn't turn around. She just goes, no, there's not. He goes, there's a fly. There is a fly in my oatmeal. And she goes, it's a raisin. Now, she's never turned around and she's never looked. Said, it's a raisin. And he goes, no, there's a fly in my oatmeal. And all of a sudden, the fly just flew off. And then finally, she turns around because he's going, see, look, look, look. And she goes, I'll be doggone, a flying raisin. Listen, you have to ask yourself, you know, do you want to win the argument or do you want to win your wife's heart? You know, sometimes you can get caught in trying to prove a point, and you say, you know what, get you some more oatmeal, you know, stir the fly in if you're looking for protein, you know. But that sometimes we get caught up in trying to prove a point, or just, you know, men have a tendency to think of things logically on the logic side, and women at times could care less about logic, even though they know it. Mm-hmm. They're thinking more of the emotional side of it, because that's just how they're designed.
That's right.
And you can logically, if you're trying to talk, communicate to somebody logically when they're saying, what part don't you understand? I'm not bringing logic into this. You know what I'm saying? You're going to be dumbfounded. He's like, what's going on? There has been 15 flies in my oatmeal, and she's called them all raisins. It's like, just relax. Cool. Everything's okay.
Yeah.
You're married.
Get over it.
Get over it. It's totally okay. It's like, just as long as you know that it was a fly, and you might have to find your buddy friends again. It's a fly. Yeah, I had a fly in mine too, man. She called it a raisin. And don't worry, she will actually get with her female friends. It's good. Can you believe that? He was not saying thank you one thing because I put the oatmeal in front of him. He was just reading his paper. Oh, my goodness. You know, I wanted to be able to mention, you know, as Christians, you know, all authority is established by God, and they're his servants, and that he gives nations to whoever he wants to give nations to. And understand that we're to honor and respect, you know, authority. There comes a time sometimes where, you know, with the founding of America, where God begins to pull people out, where mm-hmm. they wouldn't let them have a relationship with God. But understanding that, but the last thing a Christian should be doing, or somebody doing and at the same time saying they're a Christian, you know, is defaming a king or defaming a president. And I've noticed a lot of people, you know, are saying horrific things about our president.
Right.
You know, I was at a radio station doing a spot on a radio station, and they invited me to come there. Mm-hmm. And I was doing the spot and da-da-da-da, and a picture was taken of me there. And I didn't look, but they had stuff all over their walls and that type of thing. But when I looked at the picture, what was behind me was a defaming of the president's face on the wall. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I never would have darkened the doors of that radio station if I knew that's where the heart. But this thing is that they call themselves a Christian station. We're not supposed to do that.
Yeah.
Right. You know, we're not supposed to do that. You know, when you honor what's happening, those in authority, you're honoring God. I mean, even Nebuchadnezzar was God's servant. Mm-hmm. You know, and God taught him a lesson even while he took, understand that to talk against, this is what Proverbs says, don't talk against someone's servant because they may overhear you and do harm to you. Mm-hmm. Well, if all authority is God's servant, Romans 13, 1-5, and you're talking against his servants, hello, God will hear it and do harm to you. Mm-hmm. We're missing the point. And I'm saying that because Glenn Beck, took a little statue of our president with President Obama with the flag draped over him or something like that, and took this big mason jar and filled it with this yellow liquid that was to resemble urine. Mm-hmm. And he took the president's image and stuck it in this jar of yellow water, you know, trying to make it look, and then sealed it up. And he did it in front of, you know, all of his audience. And then he put it on eBay to be bid it off, and it got up to like $25,000, and eBay took it off. Think about it. eBay's got more integrity than Glenn Beck.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. And then it's like, and I know, I hear Christians not even blinking an eye to that. Mm. Listen, that's not who we are.
No.
That's not who we're supposed to be. And that is not how we're supposed to treat the President of the United States.
Right.
You know, we're supposed to honor the president, the office of the president of the United States, even if they're dishonoring it. By us honoring this man as our president, we're honoring God. And sticking our, even though people in the world have done things, and you did bring the comparison up of, you know, people that call themselves artists are taking the crucifixion where Jesus is on a cross, and they're sticking that in a jar of urine and putting it on display. Listen, that's wrong too. That's wrong too. But understand this, what was just done to our president. If you, we are buying into the devil's plans for this nation. If we start attacking our president and his marriage and his family and him as a man, if we start doing that, we are buying in to the plan of Satan over this nation. Now, if we, if you can talk about policies, you can talk about, you know, his, what if he's making wrong decisions here. The First Amendment gives us right to petition our government, and he would totally be open to that. He's a constitutional lawyer. Come on.
Right. And I was just going to say that. I mean, the huge difference between talking about policies and talking about the person.
Right.
You don't want to talk about the person.
Right.
Because you're talking about the image of God. You know, God created it.
And that just happens to be in America, because if it was a dictatorship or a king, then the Bible also says, you know, don't be talking about the king in your tents. Don't be talking about it. You know, understand that can be overheard. But we just happen presently to have a constitution. And that allows us to petition our government. And but he would understand. He understands that. But, you know, he seems to be like a good father, a good husband. And his viewpoints are totally different than the majority of Christians. You know, that it just it's just totally out there compared to. But, you know, it's not a theocracy in America. It is a a republic with a democracy. And that he's been voted in. And now we need to honor him in this. And it's, and more things are going to begin to happen. I'll tell you now, more things are going to begin to happen. That's going to cause your flesh to want to personally attack someone. Don't do it. Don't buy into that.
Don't buy into that.
Listen, if Israel would have attacked Nebuchadnezzar, then Nebuchadnezzar would have destroyed that. If a Jew would have attacked Nebuchadnezzar while they were under bondage to Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon, then Nebuchadnezzar would have taken their life, and God wouldn't have blinked an eye, because he was their he was God's servant. Listen, Romans 13:1-5 tells you this, but there's no reason to be attacking this man. You know, we just need to understand, separate, you know, understanding when people are talking about policies and these type of things, that you're not getting hate in your heart, that you're not, because we're not supposed to hate.
Right.
We're supposed to suffer for doing good. If somebody punches us in the right cheek, we turn to the other cheek. We, you know, if somebody tells us to go 1 mile, we go 2 mile. If we get taxed $200, we say, here's another $200. We don't, we're not caught up in these worldly arguments.
Yeah. And it's your heart to hate someone that that you're praying for. You know, I know that we've been praying for a long time for the president.
Right.
But, you know, what we're supposed to be doing as believers is praying for those who are in authority so that it will go well with us.
Right. 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 And even though you have a liberty to do things like Glenn Beck had a liberty to do that, you know, a Christian who loves God and was operating in the word of the Lord, a fear of God, would not have done that. You just don't do that. Even though you have a liberty to do something, you have a liberty to sin or liberty to dishonor, you know, you just don't do that. That's just wrong.
Right.
Totally wrong. It doesn't mean that everything that he's done is wrong, but that right there, and we have to call it what it is, that is wrong. It's ungodly. It's something that we should not do as Americans, and definitely shouldn't do it, you know, as Christians. And I just felt like I needed to say that, because I know that we've talked about some of the things that's been, you know, he says it's a great program and some of the things he does, but that he took a liberty way, way, way too far. We'll be right back in a moment.
You know, if you're out there and you're listening and, you know, you find that life is empty and you're doing everything that you're supposed to be doing. You know, you're working a good job, you went to school, you're married, you have a family, you have children. And you know what? Things still don't seem to quite satisfy. And it still seems like, you know, there's a big hole in your heart. I want to encourage you. There is hope today. You know, there is a hope through relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. And you can meet him at Meet My Father. You know, the world is hungry. And I can tell you, I was in the same place. I can relate. You know, I went to school, I did all the right things that you're supposed to do, but yet deep down in my heart, I still had such a huge hole and no amount of everything the world had to offer me. And I did it all.
was never satisfying. And still, at the end of the day, I still was missing my relationship with God. You know, if that's you, let me tell you, you can meet him. You can go to meetmyfather.org and you can meet my father and you can begin this journey of understanding and knowing him personally. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
I want to encourage you. You know, if you feel like you had a call on your life, you feel like you just want to get closer to God, you're ready to get a better perspective, a deeper perspective, you just want to walk with God. You know, you want to be close to him. You want to love God and love others and lead others to the same. You know, it's so important to learn the ways of God. It's so important to not just, you know, give your heart to God, which is ultimately important, but then you have to learn his ways. He says, those who follow my teachings are really my disciple. The dangerous thing about not learning his ways will end up following some ways that are not his ways. And eventually we could be led astray. Don't be led astray. You can register today for VFNU.org. It's Vine Fellowship Network University. If you feel like you're called into leadership, you feel like you want to go deeper in God. And also join us at the VFN family, you know, VFNfamily.org. Find out if that's for you. Find out if you're called to connect with and relate with believers who are abiding with God and just desire to follow God in that. But it's a VFNU for VFN University, VFNU.org. I think about that Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. Mm-hmm. And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to them. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just for $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown in their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's a dollar a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. We're coming to the last half of the hour. And Pat Hamilton's will be joining us, and John Ramos. Well, tell you what. We are about to do the citizenship test that we did. We started, I think we started it. So I want everybody to get ready, because we are about to start the U.S. citizenship test for Americans, people that want to become Americans. It's time for the game show. Hey, here we are.
Hey.
Oh, my goodness. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the citizenship. The citizenship, there's 100 questions that everybody wants to be a U.S. citizen has to take. And it seems like a lot of people forget it after taking it. And it's like our Congress, I think they forgot it. Mm-hmm. And we need to set them all down and say, listen, we're going to have a test today. And it's not multiple choice. You're going to have to answer these 100 questions. And if you get a C or below, you're going to have to leave this government building, and we will have another election in your district.
Mm.
We'll have another. Imagine, huh? Imagine what would happen. And not only that, but when you get the answer right, your fruit has to line up with your answer, because it says very specifically in the oath that you have to bear fruit in this. You have to be fruitful in this answer. And if your fruit don't line up with the answer, what it says, you know, bye-bye, sayonara, all those wonderful things. So here we are today. We're going to, you know, we've already asked questions 1 through 10. And as you know, John is behind.
A little bit.
Is packing his Samson fright, you know, about ready to to possibly, you know, you can redeem yourself today. We're going to ask 11 from 11. We're going to ask five more questions of the citizenship. I know that Pat's been studying up, John. I don't know if you know that or not. He found my answer book. You know what I'm saying? You know, we'll see if he's got a short term memory, though. We'll see how well that works.
Let's see what happens.
So the first question is going to go to you, John. Okay. Here's the question. It's a simple, simple question. Remember too, that, in this, you know, you're going to have, take your time and think about it. And all of your listeners, I want you to think about it too. And when you're ready, let me know when you got the answer, because it's going to be your final answer. And at that particular point, then and only then are you going to get the answer. Here's the question. Question is, to become a U.S. citizen, it's going to be, what is the economic system of the United States? What is the economic system of the United States?
Okay. Can we play that song again?
Come on, man.
Okay, here we are. Here we are.
Are you Googling over there?
The question... No, you can't Google. You shouldn't be Googling. Are you Googling?
Oh, he's Googling. You know he's Googling.
Okay, you hit me Googling. Okay, the question is, what is the economic, what is the financial, what is the economic system in the United States? What is the economic system in the United States? And I'll give you a little hint. I'll give you a little hint. It has vowels and consonants in the word. And it uses only letters in the alphabet. No other letters at all.
The test is a multiple choice test. The test helps here. No.
I'm going to give you a hint. Occupy Wall Street is against it.
Oh, Wall Street. Capitalism.
What's that?
Capitalism.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we'll get that. Understand that when people are saying that the 99% protest that's going on, Occupy Wall Street, what are they protesting against? They're protesting against the economic system, how we handle money, how we handle our economy in America. So some people don't know that it's our system. So they're protesting against the system. So when you see Occupy Wall Street and they're protesting and our president's for that, he's actually talking in support for that, there's actually our president saying when he says I'm for Occupy Wall Street, I think they're doing a good job. He thought this is a good way to speak it out. And what they're saying is we're against the way the economy works in America. We want to fundamentally transform the very question number 11 on the citizenship test. You know, think about it.
Wow.
I mean, you're looking at, you know, we're looking at losing our country, America. We're looking at, if we don't know what it is, and it's capitalism, that's our economy, or also called the market economy. That's why they say, listen, somebody says when things are getting bad, people, you have presidents that say, listen, go out and buy some things. Or they give you some money. There's some presidents that say they gave money to people. And somebody says, why do they do that? Because our economic system, the way it works is your confidence that things are going to continue to work. And you've got to spend money for America's economy to work. That's how we're designed. So they're not being rude. They're not saying, you know, why Rome burns, go spend money. They're saying, let's restart this whole economy. So when our current president is saying we want to tax you and we want to take money from you to make a bigger government, that gives you less money to be able to spend to keep this economy going, to keep America going. So the more you tax Americans, the less we'll be able to do what we're required to do to keep this America going, which is a capitalist where we're spending money. That's our economy, it's how we spend money. And a capitalist is where, you know, somebody comes up with an idea and they say, listen, I like what you're doing. And they give you some money to help start your business. They loan you money maybe from a bank, or they give you money from their savings, and you either pay them interest for the money or you give them dividends for the money. But it's how it works. Wow. So when the 99%, which is just a number they picked out, listen, it's not 99%, it's them. And it was just a handful. But it is relevant. And if you can look at the prophetic words where Guy Fawkes, you can find out about the Guy Fawkes master, where I mean, things are going to happen. You're already starting to see it leak out now. I think the next 4 years is going to be filled with protests of employees protesting against boards and owners and other companies, and it's going to be flipping this country in a way of thinking differently. But so that's the question. That was the question for the citizenship test. Number two, the next question is going to be going to Pat, and it is, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is number two. What is the rule of law? What is the rule of law?
Thank you.
So let me help you out here. What is the context? I'll give you Occupy Wall Street.
He's got the computer in front of him, that's what I'm saying.
No, he's not. He's really not. He's just staring off into the emptiness of nowhere.
I'm trying to pull something. You know? Lord, help me.
So you know,
Lord, help me.
It's not what is the definition of the rule of law, but what is the rule of law? What does that mean? What does that mean? What does the rule of law mean? What does the rule of law mean?
That's not helping.
Think about it. We got to start looking at everybody differently, don't we? We have to say, wait a minute. You know, do we know these things?
Mm-hmm.
Well, why don't they teach us these things in school?
Right. I don't think I skipped that class.
Yeah, I think they would have gave. They no. I don't think they did.
They never taught it.
You know, and we should have 100 questions about you know that everybody should answer. You know, and about who we are.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And if you don't know who you are, people will tell you who you are, and that's what's happening right now because America doesn't know who they are. You have people telling us who they want us to be. And there's no grit, but you know.
Think about this. Mm-hmm. You know, my son right now is learning about Egypt and pharaohs and all this type of stuff. You know, current events is like, I mean, about what's going on, and you need to be knowing what
about
we're talking
America.
About today.
Yes, knowing about America. So, what is the rule of law? So, the concept is, you know, the rule of law that rules over, right? So, everyone. This is some different statements you could say that kind of says that everyone must follow the law. Leaders must obey the law. Government must obey the law. And no one is above the law. You could say in all those different ways. And what are we seeing right now? We're actually seeing our current leadership in America that is violating what? The rule of law.
Mm-hmm.
But they're just like, you get all these different, many, many different things that are taking place.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, when you think about Benghazi, when you think about what we're being lied to by our government, well, you can't mm-hmm. do that. It's illegal to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't, just so many things, laws are being violated right in front of us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's not hidden. It's just right out, right in front of us.
Latent.
And you know, we don't even understand that that's not to be accepted because it says, you know, even the rule of law means that the government must also obey the law. No one is above the law.
Mm-hmm.
And what's strange is you're seeing some people be held to that at the very same time. The same people that are being held to that aren't holding themselves to it.
Hmm.
You think about the Fast and Furious when, you know, the Attorney General is a part of a guns to the drug lords that end up killing mm-hmm. one of our law enforcement. Mm-hmm. Officers, you know, giving guns to our enemy and then not, and then standing before Congress, which is us, by the way, when people get called to Congress, it's a representative government. And so when the Congress is asking somebody a question, that's you asking them mm-hmm. through your representative government. So when they sit there and say, and the Attorney General says, I will not tell you, picture them saying that to you and that it's a government by the people and for the people. And so you should be an up, you know, you should be all upset about it. And you should be saying, wait a minute, you're not above the rule of law.
Mm-hmm.
You just, when we ask you a question, Mr. We let you be in here for 4 years, Attorney General, that, you know, you should answer us because
that's
we
right.
need to know if you need to be here or not. If not, we can impeach you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's supposed to happen. And so we're seeing right now, right in our faces. And that's how, you know, one thing you can normally tell that when God is humbling a nation, that when it's being done right in their faces, and nobody's acknowledging it, then God is allowing some things to take place, and we're being humbled as a nation.
Mm.
Well, John, here is the third question. The third question from the United States citizenship test that you have to take to become a citizen.
What was the answer?
That was the answer.
No one's above the law.
I mean, here's some various ways you can answer it. You could say everyone must follow the law.
Mm.
Leaders must obey the law. Government must obey the law, or basically no one's above it.
No one's above it.
So the law applies to everybody. Like when a law enforcement officer comes and enforces the laws in your life, then we say, well, listen, Mr. and Mrs. Law Enforcement Officer, you have to do that in a legal way. You cannot violate the laws. You cannot violate my rights. You can't, you know, search me without probable cause. And because that would be a violation of the Fourth Amendment rights, right? And so then they would be above the law if they did that. So it's the rule of law. So what happens when we no longer obey the law? America falls apart. What happens when we no longer function in our economy? Then it just begins to crumble. That's what's happening right now. $16 billion in debt. And we're borrowing money from other nations to sustain our life, and it's not gonna continue to work like that. Well, John, number 13. Here we go. Number three for today. The question is, I know you're going to get this now because that's like a 50. You got a 50, 50. You got like 0.5 on the other one because I'd had to help you occupy Wall Street. I said, Occupy Wall Street, and you said Wall Street. I'm like, oh, come on, no. That was like that 99 there against capitalism, you know?
Okay.
I mean, I'm with you. I mean, if I wasn't looking at this, I would be at least better at it. No, I wouldn't. I mean,
all right.
I'm learning with you. No, I'm sure our audience is learning too. They're going, oh my goodness. Wow. I will no longer talk about illegal aliens in America or new people coming. Listen, this is the question, John. Here you go. Name one branch, just one branch or part of the government. Name one branch or part of the government. Okay, here we go. Name one part or one branch of the government.
Judicial.
Yay! Oh my goodness, you did it! Oh my goodness! So, you should see Pat's face. It's like, oh man, that was an easy one. That was an easy one, you know, like
right.
Congress. You got
executive.
You got the executive.
You got
Congress or the You got the executive branch, which is the president. You got the legislative branch, which is Congress, and you have the judicial branch, which is the courts. And it's so important because the next particular question really explains this, and it's going to go to Pat. Pat, this is your citizenship test. You may have to continue to pack up your luggage here. The question is, what stops? This may sound foreign to us today because of things we're seeing. What stops one branch of government from becoming too powerful? What stops one branch of government from becoming too powerful? Okay, so what is the one thing that keeps one branch, here's a question. What stops one branch of government from becoming too powerful?
Well, wouldn't it be the other two branches?
Kind of in a way, but you're not going to get
Samsonite
it.
Samsonite coming.
Samson Fright. That,
well, the electoral process, that'd be one.
Get here, bro. Just can't stop right now. He's gonna help you.
Well, I'll tell you what. How about you answer it?
It's checks and balances. In a way, what you're saying, yeah, but it's checks and balances or the separation of powers. So people are saying, I can't believe that the Speaker of the House is being so dogmatic to the president and saying, listen, we are not gonna go that way with the fiscal cliff. And people say, he's just being a bully. He's not being a bully. It's separation of powers. Congress has total equal powers to the president. And the judiciary branch has total equal powers. The Supreme Court has total equal powers to Congress and total equal powers to the president. No one branch can tell the other branch what to do. And it's called checks and balances. So it's good that and understand that the Congress represents us better than anybody else because Congress is the number of congressmen based off how many people are in your state and how many people they represent in your state. They personally represent you. And so when Congress was voted in this last election, it was said very specifically, we want you in office, and the majority of Congress is saying, which means the majority of Americans are saying, listen, we want it to go this way. We agree that there is a huge problem here. It's a spending problem, they say, and that we do need to bring revenue on the table, but we can do that by cutting a whole bunch of loopholes and not taxing the rich, because then they're the ones that are going to continue to be able to be the employers and all that's going on. And the president's saying something different than that. Well, he has total powers too, and he not total powers, but he has equal powers to Congress, and so he can say, and so they have to compromise. That's what politician means. The word politic means, you know, they say, never mind. I'm not going to say that joke, but that means compromise. So then you have these two equal powers that come together and they say, listen, we're going to have to work out a compromise here. And that's what America's wanting. America's wanting, listen, come together and work something out. And they can be bullheaded and go into January 1st and this thing automatically hits, you know, and that can happen, which I pretty much predict that's the, you know, unless somebody gets their way totally, then that's probably what's going to happen, which basically gets their way. And, but understand that that's okay for Congress to stand up and say, you know, Mr. President, we honor you and we understand what you're saying. And what you say is a mandate. We don't think it's a mandate because we got voted into power too. And we're equal we need to negotiate and come out with a compromise. Because America wants us to work together. They want these equal powers, separation of powers to work together. And that's what America's saying. You know, start reaching your arms across the aisle and work something out. Well, if you walk in and say, listen, it's 100% my way or the highway, that is not compromise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's some values, you know, you can't compromise on. Like, for example, you're a Christian. There's some things you can't go there. But this is stuff about the things you can compromise about, you know, who's going to be taxed, who's not going to be taxed, and you just work this thing out to keep from hitting a physical cliff. But understand that we're learning in the citizenship test that it's called checks and balances. That's what that is. Think about it. If Congress wasn't there, where would this current executive branch have taken us?
Yeah, right.
Thank God for the anchor called Congress right now. It's actually moving, but it's being drugged that way.
Right.
And but the problem is that the executive branch now is making laws. They're calling regulations, but they're actually executing these new regulations, which are becoming basically laws to us, policies. Cool. And that's not supposed to happen, because you'll find out a little bit later in the test. So it's called checks and balances. And this next one, this last one goes to Pat, right? Oh,
John.
To John. He's like, no, John, here it is, John.
Yeah, look at
the last one for today of the USS citizenship test. U.S. citizenship test is, who is in charge of the executive branch? Who is in charge of the executive branch? All right, John. Who is in charge of the executive branch?
It is... Alex, it is the president.
Congratulations. Oh, my goodness. I thought you were going to call him Alex. Like, oh, my goodness. Great. Wonderful. Wonderful. That's right. The executive branch.
I'm sorry. I thought I was on Jeopardy for 1 minute.
You did, right? All right.
Just, you know.
It does feel like Jeopardy, right? What is not the president? How you word that?
Yeah.
What is the president? It's the president of the United States. So when you have the executive branch, you have his cabinet, you have all of his appointees, Secretary of State. And when you see things going wrong with the Secretary of State, you see things going wrong with Benghazi and the ambassador to the United Nations, you know, the buck stops with the president.
That's right.
It stops with the president. He told everybody, he says, listen, don't go after her. Come to me. Which was a wide open door. Okay. Like, okay, we'll be there in a few moments.
We'll be
We're coming over,
huh?
Yeah, and I noticed that a lot of them, you know, Congress turned their direction, you know, to him at that particular point, which is right. I mean, that's what happens as executive branch that happens. You did a wonderful job. Oh. We're finishing up with, yes.
There's one more.
Okay. Oh, one more?
No, there's not. That's five.
That's five. That is five for today.
You had three, I had two.
All right.
Everybody did so well on the test. Listen, stay tuned for more. Stay tuned for more. He wanted you to have another one.
Yeah.
Stay tuned for more, because we want to find out. We want to stop telling people that you need to be a good American when we ourselves don't even know what it's like to be a good American. We don't even know these things. So we need to learn these things again. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're doing. We have actually, at this particular point, had only 15 questions about America, and we've done kind of okay, but kind of not okay. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. For somebody who's been living here our entire lives, you know what I'm saying? So that just kind of puts us in a unaware sense. So congratulations. We are moving on for today. Well, the wisdom moment. We want to talk about the wisdom moment, and today's wisdom moment is from Proverbs 30, chapter 30, verse 18 through 19. It says, "There are three things that are too amazing to me, four that I do not understand, the way of an eagle in the sky, the way of a snake on a rock, the way of a ship on the high seas, and the way of a man with a maiden." I mean, think about that. I mean, he's talking about, there are three things that are just too amazing to me. Four that I just don't even understand. The way of an eagle in the sky. I mean, imagine eagles soaring through the sky and staying on the high places and what they do. The way of snakes on the rocks. It's like, that's just how these things work. And then the way of a ship on the high seas. And where does this come from? And the way of a man with a woman. The way of a man with a woman. It's amazing to see how a man can be a normal, functioning, make sense, everything fits type portrait person in society, you know, until he finds a certain woman. Mm-hmm. It's like, what happened to your brain? the decisions that he makes, the freedom that he gives up. Though he is strong, he becomes like a sponge and it's easily just pushed over. And he allows himself to be placed in positions, ridiculed and even harmed or just does nothing. But if a man was to do it to him, he would knock the man's eyeball out, you know what I'm saying? Or at least be in an argument with him. He even on many occasions allows his own children to be destroyed by his maiden's actions, his woman's actions or lack of actions as long as he continues to have access to his woman. 50% of marriages now are ending in divorce. His children are primarily taken away from him every time divorce happens, along with his home and much of his finances. With 25 million children plus children are living in fatherless homes today. Think about it. We have to be aware of this. You know, we should never change who we are. We should be who we are when we are meeting someone, so they can marry the person that we are. Mm-hmm. And they should be who they are when we're getting connected with them. And then we should say, we need to know who we say I do too.
Right.
You know? And realize that you're called to be a father, you're called to be a husband, and you have a certain role to play. And ma'am, you're called to be a wife and you're called to be a mother, and there's a certain role that you play. And that we can't give those up. And yes, it is mind-boggling when you think, what are you doing, sir? What happened to you? Mm-hmm. Where was this man that I used to know? Where is he? And he's sitting in some lazy boy chair. Family falling apart. Flipping sports or whatever it is on the television. Playing with his computer. Going to work and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I say, what happened to you? I mean, it's totally amazing. But you think about it. I mean, even the wisdom of God says in Proverbs 30, 18 through 19, there are three things that are too amazing to me. Four that I don't understand. The way of an eagle in the sky, the way of a snake on a rock, and the way of a ship on the high seas, and the way of a man with a maiden, with a woman.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.